It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We always have fun talking about the Oakland Athletics and their farm systems. It is just so bad. So
we're going to start in we'll start in 2019, purely because of Kyler Murray being listed in their farm system here.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Dugout. We're here with episode 19. I'm joined alongside Ben. How you doing today, man? How we feeling?
We're doing great. We're a little Novocained up, but we're going to work through it.
Ben had a cavity, so, you know, he's going to be, he's got a mouthful of, I don't even know what he's got going on right there. But, we got a lot to talk about. We don't have a top five this week. We're going to take a break from that. Little Yankees Red Sox talk, we got some of that for you, as well as the A's farm system, which is always fun to talk about because the A's are awful. And, we'll just get right into it for you guys. I wrote down a ton of players that played on the Yankees and Red Sox. And obviously, I'm a Yankees fan. Ben's a Red Sox fan, so we can both give our views on each player and whatnot. But, Yankees-Red Sox, one of the best rivalries in all of sports, easily. It's more than just the game of baseball. You know, it's the fans. Yeah. They hate each other. The players, they hate each other. So, you know how it goes. But, first player I wrote down was Johnny Damon. I think he's a fan favorite on both sides, honestly.
I would say so.
Yeah. Won the World Series with the Red Sox in 2004 and with the Yankees. So, I mean, I don't know. He's really even on both sides, I guess you could say. Always consistent. And you see, like, what happened to him now. Like, I'm pretty sure he gets, like, a bunch of, like, DWIs and, like,
oh, yeah. I mean, he's not a – wouldn't call him a great guy.
Yeah. I don't know, but definitely as he played, he was a fan favorite. One of those players I remember watching growing up. Next, we have Wade Boggs, going back a little bit. Drafted by the Red Sox in 1976, but he actually didn't join the MLB until 1982. He was a little late bloomer there, but and then he broke Red Sox fans' heart. Went to the Yankees as a free agent, went on to win a World Series, made four All-Star appearances, won a couple Silver Sluggers. I mean, you know, I didn't really watch him too much, so I don't have a huge opinion on him, but pretty consistent offensively.
And he went to the Rays too. He bounced around the AL East. He had good. I mean, he had good careers everywhere he went in the East too.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. This is another one. Roger Clemens. I'd say one of the most.
Oh, Raj.
One of the more dominant pitchers to play the game. He was drafted by the Red Sox, and he joined the Yankees after 13 seasons at Fenway. So I mean.
Yeah.
That's a long time. Five-time All-Star, three-time Cy. Go on.
I was going to say, he definitely became more of a villain when he went to New York.
Yeah. Yeah. With his time with the Red Sox, though, he's a five-time All-Star, three-time Cy Young. Also won an AL MVP, two-time wins leader, five-time ERA leader, and three-time strikeout leader. But as you know, Ben, it wasn't until he joined the Yankees that he actually won a World Series.
Yeah.
Yep. So, and while he's with the Yankees, he added three more Cy Youngs. So,
Roger Clemens. Guy was incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Next, we have, I mean, there's not really much you could say. We have Babe Ruth. Some things that I wrote down, the owner at the time traded him to the Yankees for just $100,000. I mean, you look at that now, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
$100,000. And there was a $300,000 loan with that, I guess. Yep. Won three World Series with Boston, but won four with the Yankees. One more than with Boston.
It is true. I mean, Babe Ruth is such like a, he's a mythical guy, bro. Like, I don't hold him in high regards. Just the era he played in. Like, the guy ate hot dogs and beer every single day. Like, it wasn't.
Is it safe to say that, like, overrated's in the question?
100%. Easily overrated. Like, people, yeah. I mean, people call him the GOAT, but it's like, no. Like, no chance he's the GOAT. No chance.
I've been saying that for a while now, and AJ kind of got upset about that. But
Everyone gets mad about it.
He was playing with plumbers.
Exactly.
You look at the guy, you know, he wasn't going against prime Justin Verlander.
Dude, no.
There's a lot you can put into that.
And not to mention, like, ground rule doubles counted as home runs back then, too, for, like, a little bit of his playing career. So it's like some of his numbers aren't really his numbers. Like, I mean, come on.
You know what's, like, really funny about it? Just because of how long ago he played. He has one more MVP than Nestor Cortez Jr. So you got to let that sink in just because of how long ago it was.
Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Yeah, Babe Ruth, just a really, like you said, mythical character we have there. Here's going to be a fun one to talk about. We have Jacoby Ellsbury. Ben, I want you to start. How do you feel about him in Boston?
I don't even know. In Boston, like, he was a great player, obviously. Like, I don't think he was ever... I wouldn't ever have called him, like, an elite player, but he was definitely, like, one of those above-average players. You know, yeah. He had a great year every year. He was a really good glove, really good on the base paths. But when he left for New York, like, obviously, you know, Boston was pretty upset about it. But, like, he got paid a lot more than he probably should have. And, you know, like, good for him for that. Like, it's kind of like the Bogart scenario. It's like, you know, like, I'm not upset the Red Sox refused to pay them that much because it's not worth it. But he was a great player. I mean, you know, won two World Series with us. You know, him and Pedroia as rookies were incredible. Obviously, homegrown guy as well. I mean, everyone loves Jacoby Ellsbury. I think, you know, him leaving for New York was a pretty sour taste, but, you know, you can't blame him for taking the money. So.
Yeah, 100%. I'm glad you brought up that Bogart scenario. I mean, it really is just like that. And with Boston, it really worked out in their favor. But at the same time, Yankees fans really hate this guy. as you know, I mean, he was always injured. But, Ben, I want you to guess how many games total he played. I mean, you might already know, you might not. But from 2014 to 2017, how many games do you think he played?
Say, like, 130.
130? He played 520 games.
520.
520 games. So, I mean, he was pretty solid for the Yankees, I'm not going to lie. And he was just always hit by injuries. And that's really what everybody focuses on. You see this guy
when... He avoided it in Boston, so...
Yeah. When Judge broke the AL home run record, he was, like, on Twitter tweeting, like, oh, congratulations. He's still got, like, his profile picture is still him in a Yankees jersey. And, like, you just have all these fans in the thread just freaking
bashing
out.
Bashing him.
Yeah. But, I'd honestly consider it, like, almost like a Prince Fielder situation. Obviously, Fielder went out terrible way. Awful injury. But this was just more of being hit by a ton of injuries, missing a lot of time. But that shocked me. 520 games. Yeah, that was really surprising. Next person I have here, going way back, Carl Mays. When I was researching this guy, I mean, he was a great player, but obviously wasn't really a good guy, one a really just disliked pitcher. And he actually killed Ray Chapman with a pitch to the head, I believe it was.
Oh, that was him. Wow.
Yeah, that was the only player killed in a baseball game. So
interesting.
Yeah, he's really disliked. I guess he was, like, just not a great guy off the field as well, other than that. I mean,
okay. But I guess killing him, like, definitely not intentional. I guess that really adds to it.
But then again, I didn't even research in that too much. I don't really know the whole story about that. But, yeah, he killed Ray Chapman. He was on the Indians at the time, so. there you have it. Played on the Red Sox and Yankees. Next up, David Wells, another guy that was bouncing around the whole league, really. Played on both teams. Struggled a lot in his career, you know, but his stint with the Yankees, I feel like that brings him up in this conversation. He was pretty good with them. One of his two World Series with the Yankees. And obviously threw that perfect game in 98. Anything on David Wells, Ben, from your side of the streets?
He's not really. Like, I don't think anybody really registers him as a Red Sox at all.
Yeah.
He was injured a lot with the Red Sox,
I'm pretty sure, right?
Yeah.
He was injured? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, he wasn't really consistent, like I said, so, yeah. Last player here. This is a fun one. Adam Ottavino, most recent Yankee and Red Sox to play on both teams.
Mm-hmm.
I just have one thing about him from he was a Red Sox. I don't know. This was this 1 year, 2 years ago. Whatever it was, the Stanton homer, over the one that went over the Green Monster. Yeah, that was fun to watch. The big Matty V call, Santa Maria.
Yeah,
Stanton is homered again.
Yeah, I mean, he was fine for us. I mean, it wasn't anything great. It was more one of those high upside things, just based off of the couple of years he had in Colorado.
He was solid with Colorado, though.
Yeah, yeah, and then he kind of figured it out again with the Mets. So. Good for him, but
yeah, he was bouncing around a lot as well, because that was all in like 3 years. I'm pretty sure he went from Yankees, mm-hmm. Red Sox, Mets, or might have been 3 years. But yeah,
he was pretty bad at the Yankees too, wasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he was. There was, you know, he had his moments, but yeah, not consistent at all.
Mm.
So yeah, there you guys have it. Little Yankees, Red Sox talk. Tons of player. I mean, there's. Tons of players we didn't even talk about, but those are some that popped into my head. And yeah, so one of the greatest rivalries in baseball. I'll keep saying it. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
And
one of the greatest rivalries in sports.
Easily. So moving on, Ben, we're going to be, this is something we've never done on this pod, actually.
Yeah. I'm excited for this.
Kick us off for this one.
All right, so we're playing guess the player today. So Drew and I each have two players. We're going to give some clues and some hints and see if we can guess the players we picked for each other. So I'll start here.
Oh, okay.
I have an outfielder for you.
And these are current right, Ben? Current players?
These are current players,
yes, sir. Okay.
Some notable accolades he has. He's a four-time All-Star. Two-time Silver Slugger, and he has a batting title. And fun fact, 2017 had a batting title. Hit .331. So do you got anything off the bat?
What was that? He hit .331 when?
.331 in 2017.
Really?
Yes. Pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. He had 387 total bases that year, 213 hits. He had 14 triples, also led the league. So did his hits and 137 runs scored. Yeah, I mean, he's had a really, really consistent career. I will say, I don't know. I don't think he'll ever make a ballot, but he's going to go down as, you know, a very underrated player when it's all said and done.
But he's not going to be on the ballot.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
I wanted to say Mookie Betts. That's not correct, though.
No. I wouldn't say he's a star.
Okay.
For his franchise, he's a star. But outside of his franchise, he's very undervalued and underappreciated, I would definitely say.
Dude.
He is in the NL.
I don't know. I really don't.
Charlie Blackmon.
Dude, I swear to you, I promise you I was just going to say him before I said that. I promise you.
Charlie Blackmon. Yeah. Dude. The guy's had a great career.
Right when you said NL, I swear I was going to say Charlie Blackmon.
He's had a really good career. Good career. Really consistent player.
Wow, dude. Okay.
Yeah.
This is going to be, I feel like you're going to get this one instantly. Like right when I said the, okay. So his dad and brother were in the MLB. Okay.
Okay.
And he's named after someone who played baseball and football. Any guesses yet?
Named after someone who played baseball and football.
Names, yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's Bo Bichette.
Yes, sir. Bo Bichette.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. See, okay, so when you said the Dadden, when you said the Dadden brother thing, Bichette came to my mind instantly.
Yeah.
But I couldn't remember if his brother actually made it to the bigs or not.
Yeah, I don't know. He was drafted by the Yankees. Yeah, actually.
Yeah. So. And then obviously, as soon as you said Bo, it's pretty easy. All right, this one's going to be a little more difficult.
Oh God. Okay.
He's a center fielder.
Center fielder.
He has one Gold Glove, just one. That's the only accolade he has. He's a pretty young player, though. He's 25.
Okay.
He's from Cuba, if that's any help.
Dang.
This past season. No, 2021, he had his best year by far. He hit 338. Only played 68 games, but he hit 338 with 13 home runs, 43 RBIs, and an OPS plus of 154. He came in second in Rookie of the Year in 2020, and he also won the Gold Glove. So he was behind, I think, was it Randy in 2020? I think he was behind Randy. So he's in the AL.
That would have been my guess, actually. But
yep. Yep.
Right behind Randy finishing Rookie of the Year?
Yeah. I will say he does wear a pretty unconventional number for a baseball player. Maybe not football, but baseball.
Oh, I can't say that. Never mind. I was just going to say Mike Harris, but no. Yeah, dude, I don't have a clue.
If I told you he wore number 88, would that help?
88?
Yeah.
And he was a rookie in 2020?
Yeah.
Dude, I know, like, right when you're going to say it, I'm going to... No, just tell me. Just tell me.
He plays for the White Sox.
Oh, my God. Luis Robert?
Yeah, there it is. There we go.
I honestly didn't even know what number Luis Robert was, but...
The 88 gives it... I mean, that's just such a weird number for baseball. I mean, that's crazy.
Okay. Well... Dang, I'm really upset I didn't get that one because, yeah. All right, moving on. This is a first baseman, okay?
Okay.
First baseman. He's no longer with the team that he was drafted by. Let's see some of these stats real quick.
But he played with the team he was drafted by before.
Yeah.
Okay, yep.
He was an all-star once, and that was in 2021.
Uh-huh.
He has two Gold Gloves.
Matt Olson.
Yes, sir.
There we go.
Ben the genius here with these games that we're playing, because
it
takes me a minute. But yeah, I don't know. You want?
I don't know why that one came to me so fast.
No, we should.
Yeah, we can do another.
We'll do one more.
Yeah,
I honestly have to think of one.
I'm not sure how that came to me so fast. I don't know. I have no idea. Let's think of one. What can we give you here?
I'm gonna think of one as well, so no rush here. I wanna think of like a really good one.
I got a good one. You're going to like this one, too.
Yeah, I think you'll like this. Hold on. You can start whenever. I'm looking this guy up.
All right, so next one I got for you, he is a shortstop. Again, okay. Not with the team he was... He was signed by, not drafted. Signed. Nope.
Okay. Gotcha. Keep going.
He switched leagues as well.
Okay.
when he got traded. Had a pretty solid year this year. You know, I had 31 homers.
This
he only
recent
hit 238.
Year.
What's that?
This recent year you just said? 31
this
homers?
This past year, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, 31 homers.
31 homers. Shortstop. Yep.
He hit 238, which some people don't love. But hit 238 regardless.
It's not Xander, is it?
It's not. Xander, really? I don't think he's ever hit even close to 238 in his career. He got traded in 2021.
Okay.
He was really, really bad with the team he was before. And, you know, a lot of people credit that to the stadium he played in. He himself also said the stadium that he played in was very difficult to hit at. And then he really turned it around when he got to
Corey Seager?
Got to his next place. No.
Yeah, I have no clue, dude. No clue.
Willie Adames.
Oh, my God, dude. Oh, my God. Why didn't I know?
He was hitting 197 with the Rays. Went to Milwaukee, hit 285, finished with 20 homers that year. And then this past year, hit 31 homers. Batting average went down, but you're going to take 31 homers from a shortstop.
Dude. I'm really upset I didn't know that.
Wow.
Okay. Well, this one for you. I'm trying to, like, figure out how to word this without it, like, because I say, like, one thing wrong here, then you're going to instantly know.
Okay.
So, see what I can do here. This is going to be probably, I'm going to make this really tough. Okay.
Okay.
So, he's all a... Right. He's a two-time Pacific League batting champion. 2020 and 2021. Japanese Series champion in 2022. And he has yet to play an MLB game yet.
So Pacific League.
Pacific League, two-time batting champion. In 2020 and 2021. He's the Japanese Series champion, 2022. Has yet to play an MLB game. And NPB Home Run Derby winner in 2021.
I feel like this isn't as difficult as you're making it.
So you know it. You know it.
I think this is the only reason I'm scared to say my answer is because you said it would you'd make it pretty difficult. But
I feel like it'd be a few people.
A few?
Yeah.
I mean, unless I'm forgetting someone.
I want to hear your answer, and then I want to hear who else you had in mind.
Is there another Japanese player that... I mean, the first thing off the bat was Yoshida.
Yes. It is.
Yeah. I didn't think it could be anyone else because what's his face as a pitcher? Senga's a pitcher. It could have been Suzuki, but he played.
Yeah. That's who I was trying to like mix him up with. Try and kill him.
Yeah. If you didn't say.
I was going to say something. Played.
But then even the 2022 part would have gave it away as well.
Yep. There's a few things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ben. You're a genius. We know. He's 29 years old.
Yeah, he's not young.
What?
He ain't young. No.
I did not know that.
He's up there. I mean, Ichiro was pretty old too when he came over. I mean, Senga's like 27. Suzuki was, I think. Suzuki's
I want to know how old he is too. Actually.
I'm pretty sure Seiya's up there. Yeah, Seiya's 28.
That's
turns
insane.
29 this year. Yeah.
All right. I think we're going to bring this segment back next week, though. We're going to bring this
back.
I like
this segment a lot.
I need to redeem myself because Willie Adames, bro, that's one of my favorite, one of the most underrated players in baseball. We'll keep saying it. But.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So next, this will be a fun one. We always have fun talking about the Oakland Athletics and their farm systems. And
we do.
It is just so bad. So... let's see. Ben, why don't you kick us off? Where should we start with this?
So we're going to start in we'll start in 2019. Why not? Purely because of Kyler Murray being listed in their farm system here. So their top five prospects in 2019 were Jesus Luzardo, who is now a 25-year-old left-handed pitcher with the Marlins, traded last year. Their second prospect, name been popular recently, is A.J. Puck, just traded to the Marlins again, another 27-year-old left-handed pitcher. Third, Sean Murphy, obviously was their catcher for the past 2 years, one of, if not the best catcher in baseball, at least defensively, is easily the best catcher in baseball. Now with the Braves, and they didn't get anything for him.
No.
I mean, that was an embarrassing trade for the Athletics. Their fourth best prospect was Kyler Murray, who didn't play a single game for them. Didn't sign either. Didn't play a single game, didn't sign, nothing. Was a seventh overall pick. Just not much to say. Waste of a pick. And then their fifth best prospect is Lazaro Armenteros, who is now a 23-year-old outfielder who has only made it to high A. So that you have four of your top five prospects not in your organization anymore. And you didn't get anyone back for them either. Not a single good player. They got JJ Bleday in the AJ Puck trade. He's already debuted. He's not living up to his first round draft status. I don't think.
No.
I don't think we'll see him do that. So now we fast forward to 2022, the most recent prospect rankings. They do have all five in the organization, which is a good place to start. Number one is Tyler Soderstrom, 21-year-old in AAA currently, so probably see him this year.
Yep.
Number two is someone you know very well, Ken Walchuk.
Yes, sir.
Already debuted. Again, it's not awesome having 25-year-olds on your top prospect list.
Yeah.
Number three is Zach Jelof. Again, 23 years old in AAA. Doesn't bode well. Number four, Daniel Susak, catcher. He's in low A at the moment. I think he was their most recent pick. He was out of Arizona. And then fifth is Kyle Muller, who they got in the Braves trade, I believe. Again, 25-year-old. The A's aren't in a great place. Just going through their entire prospect list, there's a lot of 23, 24, 25, like a concerning amount of 25-year-olds on this list. That's really bad. Their first round pick the other year, Max Muncy, he's only their eighth best prospect. So when you really put that into perspective with, you know, the 25-year-olds they have, it might not be looking great for him ceiling-wise. He might not be panning out the way they thought. Again, like they got JT Ginn from the Marlins trade, I believe. I think, maybe. They got him from some trade. He wasn't from the Athletics, but again, he's a 23-year-old in AA, their 12th best prospect. I mean, this is a team with no future, no present or no future. Pretty concerning. The state of the Athletics is not good at all. I don't see this team.
Who was
good for a long time?
The list with Kyler Murray. Who was the fifth guy that you were talking about? That's in like high A.
Lazaro Armenteros.
And he's still with the A's?
Yeah, and he's not on their top 25 anymore.
That's insane.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's a part I didn't even touch on. He's not on their pipeline list anymore. So,
and I'm just scrolling down on their current prospect rankings. So, like, when you start reaching to, like, the top, like, when you get to the 20 spot, 20 years old, 21. So, like, it gets younger as you go down. And then when you go up, they're, like,
you get old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely concerning. I mean, as I was saying, I don't, this this team's not going to be good for a very long time. They and the thing with the farm system too is they don't have anyone to trade for prospects.
Right.
And they did, and the return they got, pretty underwhelming. I mean, they traded Montas and got Waldichuk back.
Yep.
Not great.
Nah.
Obviously they just traded Sean Murphy. Got.
I don't know.
I don't remember the exact details.
Sean Murphy. I mean, like, he's all right. I mean, I'm not.
It was a three team trade. So the A's got Esteri Ruiz, Kyle Muller, both on their top 25.
Yeah.
Freddie Tarnock, I believe his name was on there as well. They got Manny Pena, who's a catcher already. They got him from the Brewers, of course, and Roybear Salinas. So I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's
like,
it's
you look
just...
at a. Obviously, I'm not calling Sean Murphy a Juan Soto level player.
Right, but he's like the best one there.
But you don't. They don't think they got a top 100 prospect back for Sean Murphy.
Yeah, who's exactly.
Arguably the best catcher in baseball. And that's concerning. I don't know if they have a top 100 on their team.
Yeah,
they have one, and it's Ken Waldichuk and then Zach Jelloff. Those are the only two. Waldichuk's already in the league, has looked okay.
Yeah,
I mean, he hasn't. I mean, he had a 4.93 ERA this year. He only pitched 34 innings, but
yeah,
didn't look like anything special when he was when he played this year.
That's really concerning. This whole list, if you're an A's fan, if they still exist, it's really
Athletics
bad.
Are in a concerning place, and if you're an Athletics fan, I'm very sorry.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. The Oakland Athletics. I don't know what can really even be said. What else can be said? Because
yeah, I know.
You say, oh well, the future's bright, and it's really not.
It's not.
So
and they don't have a present.
Yeah, that's not a good spot to be in. Yeah, I'm just trying to see what it's like. People are gonna be talking about the A's from like 20 years from now. Like, are they? I don't know, dude. It's
I mean, unless they start playing Moneyball again, there's nothing this team can do. I mean, they have nothing in a division that's owned by the Astros. And then, I mean, we see like how poorly the Angels perform every year, and they have 10 times the roster in the farm system that the Athletics have. So,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't see it ever happen. Not ever happen, but at least for the next 10, 15 years, there's no future for that team. They have to nail the draft for at least, and the international signing pool for at least the next 5 to 6 years. Like, they cannot miss to at least get that farm back into like at least like a top 15 shape to where you can say confidently, next couple of years we'll have a pretty decent squad or have players of value that you can trade for MLB ready guys. But as of right now, they don't have it. So,
yeah.
Well, bad time to be an Athletics fan.
Yeah. Sorry, A's fans. There you have it. So, we're running out of time here. We'll end it off here. So, hope you guys enjoy this. This was a fun one to do. The Yankees Red Sox talk is always fun. And, definitely going to be doing that Guess That Player again. I need to redeem myself. So, yeah, thank you guys for watching. Be sure to tune into the pod everywhere you listen, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever. And, Ben, anything else you have to say?
The past 25 years, the Yankees and the White Sox have the same amount of playoff wins and World Series wins.
Alrighty, there you have it, guys. So thank you for watching once again. And baseball season's here, so we'll see you guys. Thanks for tuning in. See you next time.